If you had your choice of all the places to spend a Friday night, where would you pick? I don't know about you, but I don't know what else I could do that I would come away feeling more edified, more happy, more glad to see everyone. That goes along with what I'm going to talk about tonight, is spending time with people. It's easy to spend time with people who you have a lot of things in common with, isn't it? You like doing the same things. You're not worried. Are we going to get into something that I'm not comfortable with? There are only so many things that I find I can talk about with people that I have very little, if nothing, in common with. If you don't like the same things, desire the same things, you don't spend time doing similar things, and even if you don't have the same vocabulary as them, to me, I find that those times spent with those people that I don't have common with, that my ears get burned just listening to what they have to say, I don't enjoy that time. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 tells us this isn't something new. God told us evil companions corrupt good morals. You can set out and you can know what you're supposed to do, but if you hang out with the wrong people, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. Romans chapter 12, where Ben read tonight, was a passage that I have down. I'm going to reread a few verses here, beginning in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Recently, a very honorable man that I have a lot of respect and faith and admiration in, I'm going to paraphrase, I know I'm not saying it exactly right, at the passing of his father, said, with the waning and decline of our physical family, how much more important and how much closer our spiritual family becomes, the more that happens. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God designed it. We're supposed to leave those things that are of this world. We're not supposed to love this world. We're not supposed to love doing the things of this world. We are supposed to love being together. Because guess what? There will be a test. And this gets us ready for it. This is preparing us for our final. And nobody's going to stand with us but us. A lawyer will not be appointed for us to plead our case. Everything will be black and white. This is what it said. Did you do that? It's going to be black and white. Those words are still, and I think I will think of that the rest of my life. That's what heaven is, where every one of our spiritual family will be. Those we have things in common with. Thinking back, I remember family holidays. Get together at Thanksgiving, get together at Christmas, get together at Easter. And the older I got, the more awkward some of those got. I find myself just stretching, trying to pull a conversation piece out of the air with something just to talk to this person who is my blood relative. Those times are not and are less and less enjoyable. You can only talk about so many ball games, hunting and fishing trips, stock shows. can only talk about the same story so many times. What were important times to you that you look forward to telling people about? One of those times, as Brother Ledbetter said in his announcements Wednesday night, the most important time in our lives should be the time that we're baptized. When we achieved it, when we figured it out, we knew what we had to do and we did it. And no one can take that away from us but us. I remember when I was baptized, and I remember how excited I was to go see certain people who I knew would be equally excited for me. I think, like most of the people in this room, I would venture to say most of those people weren't at school the next day. And if the ones who were closest, I was closest to, that I did relay that to, I kind of got a half-hearted, that's good. Kind of like if you had a good night's rest or had a really good meal. Oh, that's good. That's good. They didn't appreciate and they didn't understand the magnitude of what that meant. And I was not as close to those people as I once was. And I think that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be closer and closer to our spiritual family. And if our physical family isn't also our spiritual family, I think there's only so much you can grow together before you start growing apart. I can't remember any Christian that I gave that news to that wasn't elated, that wasn't so excited. We're told that when one repents and returns, that the angels rejoice. That's who I want to spend time with forever. I had to sip a couple of drinks of water. I heard some bottles of water clicking while we were singing. Won't it be wonderful when we don't have to worry about that? We won't have to worry about that. One of the hardest realizations I've had in this life is that I can't make anybody want to be faithful to God, or I can't make someone love God. I wish I could. But we're not told that we can. How many of our friends ever ask us, hey, you want to talk about God? You want to talk about the Bible? Let's study the Bible. Maybe I didn't pick as good of friends as I should have, and I've been guilty of that sometimes. But I don't remember many of those conversations. We do, and I bet that we more than likely will or have had opportunities to have those conversations, though. But how often is it that it comes in the most inopportune times or awkward feeling times, when there's been a loss or a death of a loved one in their family, when they're really vulnerable? Maybe that's the only chance we'll get to talk about God with them. I remember after our dad's funeral, all three of us boys spoke at his funeral. It was an honor and heartache to do so, but it was an honor to do so more than anything. And within just a few days, I was asked to give the lesson and do Amber's granddad's funeral. And I remember several people coming up to me and say, how do you do it? What are you talking about? How do you do it? You just lost your dad. And now you're doing another funeral too? How are you doing that? We're told to always be ready to give an answer within us. I don't know if it's the same with you, but it seems to me that's getting to be about the only times I see certain people is when I go back for a funeral. Those may be the only chances I have to have that conversation with them. Another man that I greatly honored and revered and respected was a man that went to church with us in Portales. And after high school, he'd been in the Navy, and he was in a submarine. And there was a boisterous atheist just rebuked and put down and cussed anyone who ever professed to believe in God. And he said they were being depth charged off the coast of Asia. And he said there was another man in there with him who was a Catholic, and the Catholic was saying a rosary or two very fast, very animated. And this boisterous atheist reached down and patted him on the back and said, "Me too, me too." We need to pray for the soundness of mind and the courage to seize those opportunities. I don't know if they ever got that opportunity to talk about God and he was in a vulnerable state to actually listen again. I don't know that. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1, we see the parable of the sower. The sower was told, we see that he went out spreading the seed. Nowhere in that story or anywhere else are we told to change the soil to a different type of soil. This is what you do. But we are told to be a light unto the world. And in those times when the world is hopeless, people with hope shine out. And they just do it, doing the things we do every day. And I hope that we have the courage, we have the soundness of mind to continue being light to this dark world. Because we don't have to look very far around us to see a lot of darkness right now, do we? We need lights to shine. The job of a lighthouse keeper is not a part-time job. The lighthouse keeper has to keep that light lit so anyone who is coming by in danger and peril can see the light and knows how to steer away from trouble. You can't make people's decisions. You can't choose God for someone else. We have to make all of those decisions for ourselves, by ourselves. I know I will remember, I can't remember the exact quote, but I'll remember the concept that our brother told us when he said, as our physical families fade, our spiritual families come closer. I hope it's the same with you. I hope you've chosen to obey God. I hope you've chosen to believe in God and be faithful. I hope you've chosen to go to heaven because it's your choice. You can do it tonight before you go home. What a wonderful night of singing. I'm strengthened, edified, and encouraged by it. But none of these songs we would sing would encourage or strengthen us as much as someone obeying the gospel. If you're subject to the invitation, Barrett, are you the next song leader? I'll turn it over to Brother Evans.